Awesome. All right. So I'm going to, honestly, Josh is like, the day before we came, he's like, did you prepare at all for this? And I gave him just a list of, as I was running around doing other things, I'm like, I gave him a list of verses. I'm like, can you just type these up for me? And so I have a ton of verses. I don't know what ones I'll go through. And Josh is like, do you know how many verses that is? And I'm like, I know, just print them all down and I'll see where this goes. But I'm going to start off with, in part, a depressing word, but it's from the Bible, so it's good. And then I just want to work off of there. So this is some 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is verses 1 through 7. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. So, that's a long list of stuff, not good stuff, right? And then it says, avoid such people. But then it says, for among them, so all those people who love themselves, love money, they're proud, they're arrogant, abusive, disobedient parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, you know, the whole list. For among those people, there's people that will creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. And I know Josh mentioned a little bit, it was like, so this fall, it'll be 2 years ago, I basically had a nervous breakdown. I didn't even want to call it that at the time, and we don't have to go into that. It was a super humbling time of my life. I literally thought I was dying. I didn't even know what was happening, and ironically enough, the doctors never even said anything like, I think you're having a nervous breakdown. And because a lot of times they don't really call it that anymore. I mean, the big thing now is we talk about adrenal fatigue and all that kind of stuff. Which, you know, they told me my adrenal glands were shot. But anyway, aside from all that, I thought I was dying. And ever since then, again, kind of just, not that I don't want to be open about that, but I have struggled because I'm like, man, I'm just not as strong. I can't handle as much. But here it's talking about those that creep into households and capture weak women. And there's a weakness that's not talking about like what we physically can handle or what we can't handle. It talks about women who are always learning but never able to acknowledge or arrive at truth. And man, I don't want that to be me. I don't think you want that to be you. I mean, you know, like we sit through church services. I'm assuming we all have Bibles because, you know, this is the United States. So we have read truth. We've heard truth. We've listened to sermons. We've probably read good books. We listen to podcasts. There's all kinds of knowledge and truth that hit us. But there are weak women that get captured that are always learning and don't arrive at truth. And that's a scary thing. I don't want to be that. I don't want anyone to be that, especially people who claim to be followers of Jesus. We don't want to be weak women. We want to be strong women. We want to be women who are full of conviction, who know what we believe, why we believe it. And we've been given the Bible, and I know that Josh has gone through some verses. And again, like I said, in prepping for this thing, I'm like, I want to read through a bunch of these verses, or I want to talk about them or hit on them. I love 2 Timothy where it says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I want to be that woman. I want to be a woman who's complete, a woman who's equipped for every good work, not a weak woman who's always learning, always taking in information, but never arriving at the knowledge of truth. And so I want to talk about three things today, and I've got verses on all three of these things, and it's respect, contentment, and truth. And you know what? I'm not good at those three things. I'm just putting it out there. Respect, I mean, like Josh, for those of you who were not here last night, Josh mentioned, he's like, you know, Gina can get kind of witty, and what he meant to say is I can be pretty rude and sarcastic, and that was the nice way of saying it. And I mean, respect comes hard for me. Like, if someone's not acting respectable, I'll just let them know, and I'll let them know in a really direct way. So respect, contentment, it's hard for me to be content. I mean, there's days where I really love my life, and then there's days where I like see everything that could be different and so much better, and it's hard to be content. And trusting, man, I thought I was a really trusting person, and then 2 years ago, I had these major health things, and then I had kids that started getting their driver's license, and man, I realized I'm not trusting. I'm actually a really fearful person. Or I've become that. And so I want to look at what the Word of God says about respect, contentment, and trust. And again, like, you know, me saying, I've realized that in some ways I'm more in touch, maybe that it's not that I'm more weak in some areas, but I'm more in touch with my weakness. And I love this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You know, so I'm going to talk about these things, respect, contentment, and trust. I'm going to read verses, and I'm just laying it out there. These are things that I suck at, but I'm so thankful that the surpassing power and greatness of God can be displayed through this broken jar of clay. And that's my prayer for you guys as well, that the surpassing greatness of God's power would be displayed through the broken jars of clay that you guys are, because we're all broken. Some of us are a little bit more in touch with that, but we really are broken. So respect, in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, particularly towards our husbands. But even as I was jotting these verses down, I was thinking, you know, we think of being a godly wife, and you know, the Christian thing to do is pull out Proverbs 31, right? It's just like, oh, she's so amazing. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. She's like really got it. Or like, I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Or like, you know, we'll hear things in Christian circles, whether we're talking about men or women, and it's like, she's really a radical Christian. You know, she's one of those Christians who's like, you know, people will get really descriptive, the red hat Christian or whatever. And these verses on respect and contentment and trust are not like for the radical Proverbs 31, the red hat women. This is basic Christianity. And I think it's good for us to know that and admit that sometimes. A lot of times we glorify like the people who are really obedient to the Word of God, which the Bible says that's a disciple of Jesus. And we like make categories of like the really serious people and then the people who maybe aren't as serious, and maybe that makes us feel better sometimes. But it's good to remember, like, this is Christianity 101 here. So respect. 1 Peter 3:6 says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That's a crazy thing to me. I mean, again, it speaks to respect, but going into that, Ephesians 5:33, it says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And I know we just got done listening to a teaching on roles, and respect was one of those. 1 Peter 3, which Josh just brought up in the last session. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Respect is a powerful thing. It's super powerful. It's so powerful that it actually says in the Word of God that there's some men that might not even know or obey the Word of God, but they can actually be won over by the conduct of their wives when they see the respectfulness and the pure conduct of their wives. That's powerful. That someone could be brought to the knowledge of the truth, that someone could be brought to absolute truth by respectful and pure conduct of a wife. And man, sometimes Josh and I will fight, and I'll like be like, oh man, I am gonna think of all the clever ways I can get him to see what I'm trying to say, see what I'm trying to prove. And the Bible says that a husband who doesn't even believe the Word of God can be won over by the respectful and pure conduct. That was easy. I mean, not easy, but that was simple, right? Like this is simple, but it's so hard. But this is where I think it's important for us to say, okay, I am going to deny all the feelings that I feel right now. I'm not going to interpret the Word of God through my experience, but I'm going to interpret my experience through the Word of God. I'm going to let the Word of God dictate how I do this, how things are done. And respect is a powerful thing. When we respect our husbands, it's a powerful thing. This is not talking about husbands and wives, but again, this is just straight up Christianity. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may be give grace to those who hear." I think of so often, you know, when we're talking and just the day-to-day things, or, you know, like you're working through things, life gets crazy, life gets busy, and you know, you're going back and forth with your husband, you know, with the kids, whatever, whoever's there. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Man, right there. If you make it your aim and you actually obey that, I'm only going to let speech come out of my mouth that's for building up. I want to build up my husband today. I want my kids to be built up because of the way I'm building up my husband, or the way I'm building up someone else. Respect. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Man, if I was just treated a little bit more lovingly, if I was cherished a little bit more. The Bible says outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo them. Outdo her. Outdo one another in showing honor, showing respect. It's a powerful thing. It changes so much. It's so, you know, it's so easy to blame, like, man, if this was just going on in my life, or if I didn't have to deal with this, or if this wouldn't have happened, or if he would be a little bit more this way. Like I said last night, everyone's got excuses. But who's going to do something about it? And respect is a huge, huge, huge deal. Titus 2:4 through 5. It's talking to older women, actually, about their responsibility in training younger women. It says, "And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled or maligned." Kind. Man, sometimes, like, I just have a hard time being kind. You know, when, like, you're running on less sleep and, you know, the house is just busy and, you know, we got Jackie and Shane and I were talking, because for those and some of you who know Josh has like got 101 ideas all the time, and sometimes it's just like, it's, you know, it's like, woo, it's morning time, it's go time, we're just like, we're on to another idea, and we already have a really busy house, and it's just, there's always something happening, and sometimes I'm just like, I'm tired, like, and you know, like, but I mean, we laugh at those things, and it's like, but I'm unkind sometimes, I'm just unkind, and this is an area where I've just been really convicted, and it's just like, man, the Bible says let the wife see to it that she respects her husband, And at the end of the day, I know I'm blessed, but it's just that simple. And again, sometimes I'm like, I'm reading through these verses, I'm like, oh, what can I really say? But like, I think these verses really say a lot. Wives, be respectful. That's not an easy thing to do, but you have all the grace you need. I have all the grace I need to be that. There's nothing lacking in our lives for us to be able to do this. In fact, you're the most graced person in the universe to be respectful to your husband. You've been given all the grace you need. There's no one more graced to be respectful to your particular husband than you. Let's be respectful. And I know that sounds straight up. And I don't say that in like a, this is easy, get over it, but it's that simple. And I think a lot of times it comes down to us just trusting, like, God is who he said he is. I'm who he said he is. And this is what he's called me to do. And man, it's hard, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust that he has given me all the grace I need to do this. Second word that that came to me for this talk is contentment. And man, I was actually just the week before we came, I read this verse and I was just like, oh man, because I'm not going to go into it, but we had, right before we came, two of our kids got strep throat. And I was just like, oh, this is bad timing. I'm going to be out of town. I don't even like leaving our kids. And it was just like thing after thing after thing. And so I was just complaining. And I was just like, oh, man, if this would be this way and this would line up this way, I would have such a better attitude. And I literally was thinking those things. Knowing the truth and knowing all these verses, I was thinking those things. And I sat down and I read Philippians 2:14. To 16, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain for you. And I was like, man, that is convicting. Like, instead of just being content with what I've been given here and now, like, you know, some days we don't like our lot in life, right? Some days we love it, some days we don't love. Some days I love the health that God has given me. I'm like, oh man, I've been such a healthy person. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I hate how my health is. I hate the weird ups and downs. Like, man, I'd love to cash in this old body for a new body sometimes. Jackie and I have talked about that a lot. Some days, I mean, I'm so grateful for Josh, and some days I'm like, oh man, I wish he was so much more this way. Some days I love the calling that God has on our life. Some days I'm like, oh, I could give this up and trade this in for someone else's deal. You know, whatever it is, the provision that God's given us, money, house, stuff, the children, our bodies, our churches, the work that's before us. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And again, this is like super simple. We know we're not supposed to do this, but how often do those little things slip in? How often do, like going back to that those verses from 2 Timothy, how, you know, we're surrounded, our culture, our society, whatever. Yeah, it's on the billboards and magazine covers and different things that we read, but there's something in our culture is sinful, broken human beings where there's something that comes natural to love ourselves. There's something that comes natural to us to love money, to be proud, to be arrogant. All those things that list in 2 Timothy. And how often are we weak women who are captured and led astray by these various passions, and then it just comes out in seemingly really innocent little things like grumbling and complaining. You know, like when in 2 Timothy, when it talks about weak women being burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, I don't know that it's just talking about like the adulterous woman or the mom who's neglected her kids. Yeah, those are bad things. but it's also talking about people who are led astray and burdened down with things like grumbling and complaining. And it's good for us to be like, yeah, I don't want to be that weak woman. I want to be a content woman. I want to be a strong woman who's content with what God has given me, because I know God is sovereign. And anything that God has allowed in my life, whether I like it or not, is for my good. All the time. Every single time. You know, Proverbs 21:9 says that it's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Someone who's like, always bickering, like, I'm complaining about everything. Oh, I wish something was better in my life. It's better to live in a corner of a housetop, which, I mean, that's a weird deal, but whatever. Corner of a housetop. I don't know anyone who has ever done that, but that would be better. There's probably reasons why people don't do that, because that's not good. So it would be better, though, to do that than to live in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 27:15 says that a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or grasp oil in one's hand, meaning like that doesn't happen. Like it's not a good deal to live with a quarrelsome wife. It's like a dripping on a rainy day. But 1 Timothy 6:6 says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I mean, I think this goes without saying, we've all grumbled and complained about something in life before. But you know those sweet pockets in life when you're just like, you're feeling the flow, you're loving life, and you're content? Isn't that a good feeling? Isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that a sweet moment of just being content and saying, man, you know, there's ups and downs in life, but, you know, like the psalmist says, you know, the lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. You know, this can be going wrong. It was really sweet. 3 years ago, Josh was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And I was like, oh, when we first got the news, I was just like, oh man, I wonder how this is going to go for us. But it was one of the sweetest times of our life. Because even in that moment of like getting some really bad news, and part of it was because I think his attitude, and that was, I mean, and then we had so many people praying for us, which was awesome. But I was just like, I remember sitting down and we told all our kids, and we all had a good cry together because we didn't know how bad it was or how progressed the cancer was at that point in time. But I remember Josh being like, you know, the lines have really fallen for us in pleasant places. And just because we got that news today, it didn't change. And I was like, you know, that's really true. We found out something that was actually there yesterday, but we didn't know about it. But the pleasant places that the lines have fallen for our family all these years has not changed. And it's good for us to remember that in the moments where we're just like, man, I wish, you know, this is not exactly what I signed up for. This isn't what I was hoping for. This wasn't maybe what I was even praying for. But like, the Bible says don't grumble or complain about anything. And honestly, all the good things that have happened in my life, and I think everyone could definitely say that there's been something good that's happened in your life, and no one has deserved any of those good things. So honestly, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places that I've never, ever, ever deserved, never could. And like, therefore, I'm going to be content. And yes, is that hard? Is that a struggle? I think that's why the Bible calls it a fight of faith. Because to believe in those moments when everything that you're feeling is so strong and it's like, oh, I don't feel the love right now. I don't feel that this is good. I don't even feel anything about this. It's good to remember in those times, first of all, that the Bible says don't grumble or dispute about anything. And I love in Hebrews 13 where it says, it's talking about the love of money, but really it could be the love of anything that could potentially be an idol. And it says, be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I think sometimes that's hard for us in this culture because we have so much going for us. We have so many things that can take the edge off of our need, our true need. But man, if any of you have ever hit like a really hard spot, or you felt like you've like hit rock bottom in certain seasons of life, those words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that's like gold. That's like, wait a minute, I feel like I'm at my lowest point ever, but in faith right now, I'm gonna remember like that Jesus said he'll never leave me or forsake me. And all of a sudden you start focusing on that. You start focusing on it more and more. I love I believe it's in Hebrews, where it talks about God being the author of our faith, the author and perfecter. I mean, there's so many times we're like, man, I don't believe this right now. I don't believe that this is good in my life right now. I'm having the hardest time being content. And it's just like, it's time to look at Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. This is good. He would not allow something in my life that wouldn't be good for me. And it might not feel good, but it is good. And I'm going to choose to believe that. I'm going to choose again to believe the word of God above my circumstances. And he's never going to leave me or forsake me. Therefore, I can be content because this is good. And again, hard thing, but such a powerful thing when we walk in that. Such a powerful thing for our husbands when we're when it's better for them to live with us, who are not quarrelsome and moaning and grumbling, than to live on the corner of a housetop. So that's contentment. Again, those verses, I think, are huge. Do a word study on contentment sometime. And or grumbling or disputing, moaning. And that's this last week. I was like, man, this is so good for me, because I realized, again, I just subtly just fell into that. I'm like, I would always have said that I'm a really content person. And then after I did a word study and read some of those verses, I'm like, I'm not a content person. I've got issues. But the word of God, again, is powerful and effective. And I felt even last week, there's things just coming into alignment as I read through those. And I think that this brings up the last word, and that's trust. And I've already hit on that, because I think a lot of times in wanting to believe, like, okay, I know I'm supposed to be content. I want to be content. I know God's promises on my life. I know that he said that he'd never leave me or forsake me, but I'm just having a hard time trusting, because sometimes our feelings is out more to us than the reality of God's word and his promises. And this is where I, like I said, in the last 2 years, I'm in process, but I'm really learning a lot about trust. And Proverbs 21:19, it says that it is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. And like I said, I've been fearful, and maybe I had been fearful in the past, but for some reason, and again, there's a lot of different reasons, but I've been a fretful woman, and I'm like, man, it's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. I'm like, oh man, Josh, I want better for you. And but I understand why. Like, and even in the last talk that Josh just did about our a true beauty of a woman, in where it talks about in 1 Peter 3, where it says that the holy women of past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves with this true beauty. They were submissive to their husbands. And then it talks about Sarah calling Abraham even her Lord. But it says, you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And the truth is, again, this is kind of piggybacking off of stuff that's already been said, but following, submitting, whether to our husbands or to the Lord, that can be really frightening sometimes. I know that some of the things that I think that God has called us to in life, they're not always easy, and that's a good thing. I think if anyone feels like they're called to a life that they can do, that's probably not God calling you to that life. A lot of times, or I should say all the time, God calls us to a life that we can't do apart from him. And so inevitably, there's going to be moments in a life that's lived to the glory of God, following God's call on our lives, that is frightening. There's things that we're going to be called to do that we can't do in and of ourselves. There's actually this infamous Christian phrase that gets said a lot, and I think people do it in a nice way because they try to encourage people. They said, "Well, you know, God would never allow anything in your life that you can't handle. God allows things in our lives all the time that we can't handle." And I'm sure he loves to allow those things in our life because, again, in our weakness, he is strong, right? If the Lord only allowed things in my life that I could handle, I would be a wrecking ball. And so would you. It is so good for us to get out of ourselves, to get our eyes off ourselves, to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and to say, man, where did I have this verse written down? I mean, I said one of the verses last night, 2 Corinthians 9:8, about how God's able to make all grace abound to you, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. where is that? I had a verse. Maybe it'll come to me later. But anyway, in and of ourselves, we can be wrecking balls. But when... I actually already said the verse, talking about the surpassing power that belongs to God and not to us, that's shown through in these jars of clay. That's good stuff right there. And so, again, we're going through life. There's things that are fearful that come into our lives. There's things that we can't do in and of ourselves. I love the verse 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Sometimes we have to notify ourselves of that reality, right? When we're going through life, when we're, as wives, when we're like, man, I can't do this. I know all the right things. I've read the good books. I've read the good verses. I've been encouraged by other women. It's good for you to remember God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he actually gave you a spirit of power and of love and self-control. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I read through Psalms, and the Psalms are, there's so many good prayers and songs to the Lord, but there's a lot of, especially David in the Psalms, he's like preaching to himself, you know, like, okay, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? And now, soul, put your hope in the Lord. You know, it's just like, okay, why are you downtrodden, heavy laden? Soul, focus on the Lord, you know? And there's so many times where it's just like, okay, I'm having a rough time. I'm having a hard time being respectful. I'm having a hard time being content. I'm having a hard time believing that God is good in this situation. I'm having a hard time trusting that the Lord is going to work this out. Spirit, you haven't been given the spirit of fear that I'm feeling right now. That's not what's been given to me. I've been given everything I need to do this. I have everything I need to be respectful. I have everything I need to be content and see the good in this situation. I have everything I need to not lash out in this situation. I have everything I need to respond in a different spirit, even though I don't feel loved right now. I have everything I need because I know what I've been given. And man, sometimes I find that the older I get and the more I go through life, I've just been resonating with when Jesus heals the boy that has the evil spirit in Mark 9, and the dad's basically like, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Like, I find myself saying that so many times in life when I go through different things. I'm like, okay, God, I believe, but but help me in my unbelief. Man, I'm having a hard time believing that you've actually given me a spirit of power and a love and a self-control right now. I believe, but help me in my unbelief. I'm going to trust you right now. I love Psalm 106. It's talking about the Israelites. It says, then they despise the pleasant land because they had no faith in his promise. And then they murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. And I'm like, man, a couple weeks ago when I read that, I was like, dang, that's me. Like, I despise the pleasant land because I'll just forget about the promises that I have in Christ Jesus. I won't have any faith in those promises. And so here I am just murmuring in my tent, not obeying the voice of the Lord. And whether that's in areas of respect, whether it doesn't land is of discontentment. I'm despising the pleasant land, the pleasant way that God has for me to walk in because I don't have any faith in his promises. And so again, after I read Psalm 106, I was just like, okay, I believe, help me in my unbelief, God. Help me in my unbelief. You have promises for me. The Lord has promises for us as his daughters, as women of the Lord, as women who are called to be strong women, women of conviction, women who obey the voice of the Lord, and we're respectful in our marriages, but as respectful women, as loving women, as women who are content, who really bank on the promises that God has given us. And I think this brings, again, like I said, in preparing for this stuff, I mean, I just, when I prayed about coming up here with Josh and doing this, I believe the Lord spoke to me three words: respect, contentment, and trust. And I'm like, man, that's cool, but I wish I had something to talk about that I didn't suck at so bad. And but I just felt like, okay, just get all the verses that come to your mind, or you know, do a word study on those things and write them down. And I was just like, even when I was praying about even bringing these words up, the Lord kept on saying to me, so like, you need to have faith to talk about these things and to walk in them yourself. And I was just like, okay, where does this faith come from? In Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So I know I read a bunch of verses down, I wrote a bunch of verses down, and I've spoken a bunch of verses out. And again, I just want to encourage you guys to, going back to that 2 Timothy verse, we don't want to be captured weak women. We want to be strong women. And it is time for us to hold one another up in prayer and encourage each other to look to Jesus. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, and perfecter of our faith. And then it says later on, down in verse 3, it says, consider him so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And the apostles in Luke 17, they cried out and they said, increase our faith, Lord. And that's been my prayer. That's my prayer for other Christian women, is that our faith would be increased. Our faith and trust in him, trust in his power, trust in his all-sufficiency, trust in him to be the wives that we're called to be. And again, I'm particularly talking about the area of respect and honor, but also trust him to be content women, not because we are getting everything we want and our husband's doing everything we like and our kids are everything we've hoped and prayed them to be, and the people around us are all falling into alignment in the places that we've hoped them to, but faith that in Jesus, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. His ways are always right. His ways are always good. I'm going to end. This has been my jam for the last couple years. Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold you by your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. And that right there is a good word. I know some days I am just like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I can't do my life. And that, like I said, and I'm being for real like that, this has been my mantra, my jam. Fear not, for I'm with you. I'm the one who helps you. And then when I stop looking inwardly in myself and thinking, okay, how can I muster up like the good wifeness that I need to have today, or the good mom that I need to have, or the good Christian woman that I need to be and have and be content. And I say, okay, fear not. Jesus, you're the one who helps me. You're the author and perfecter of my faith. You're not just the author. You're not just the one who's going to start it. And Philippians says that the one who started a good work in us will complete it. Man, sometimes I don't feel like I'm being completed. Sometimes I feel like I'm just like struggling and struggling along. But like, he's actually going to complete the work he started in us. He's the author of it. He's the perfecter of it. He's not just the finisher of it, but he's the perfecter of it. That's a really good, encouraging word, that he's perfecting what he started in us. Fear not, for he's the one who helps us. And in all that, I think that, and again, I mean, I don't know most of you, but I think it's super important. So there might be different churches represented here, and I understand that. But I think it's super, super important in these things to do what Hebrews 10 says, and this is what it says. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we've already talked about how we need help, and it is so important for women to have other women in our lives who are stirring us up, stirring one another up to love and good deeds, who are encouraging one another, especially as we see the day approaching. In 2 Timothy, the verse I started off with, when it talks about, like, in these days, there'll be treacherous times, there's, like, all these not good things happening. Well, all the more so then do we need to be speaking into each other's lives, to have people speaking into our lives saying, hey, I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up to continue to be respectful, to continue to not think of yourself higher than you ought, to lay down your life for your husband and your kids. I want to stir you up to love and good works. I want to stir you up to not murmur and complain. I want to stir you up to be content with where you're at in life, to the lot that God has given you right now. I want to stir you up to trusting, to obeying, to not getting your cues from your feelings and from everything around you. I want to stir you up to trust in the one who's here to help you. And I think that, I mean, I don't think that can be stressed enough. And we live individualistic American lives, and that's just the truth. And everything in our culture works against that kind of living, where we actually really share life together, where we speak into each other's lives, where people speak into ours. And the reality is, as Americans, we just, and not that there's other cultures that don't have that as well, but particularly our culture has a really hard time with that. And so I wanted to wrap it up with that encouragement and that challenge to really, to don't give up meeting. And that's not just a Sunday morning meeting, but that's like in a meeting and the day-to-day stuff of life and speaking to each other's lives and encouraging and challenging one another in these things. And there's a lot of blessing in that. There's a lot of blessing in having people. I mean, I don't know about you, but like some days I think, man, I know what the Bible says, and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to believe this. And there's some days that, like, I can't do that on my own. Again, I need help. And a lot of times the help that we need from God is mediated through his people, other daughters of Christ. And so that's my encouragement to you, is that you get that. If you don't have that, that you be that if you're not that to other people, and that you do it more and more, especially as you see the day approaching. And like I said, that is a life that is a blessing to live. It's not without its challenges, but it is a good life, and it's a good life that the Lord has given us in grace and mercy. And so go for it.